good for you, Nick.
Good for both of us, Geraldine.
Good for both of us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll meet you in my office.
Just a quick one, dear, because I know you're very busy.
Mm, that's also what they say around the White House.
Remind me to whip your ass good next time I see you.
Oh, an ass whipping.
What the hell has Christianity got to do with the year 2000? That was a joke.
I can explain something, if you want.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
We want to know how the hell you managed to get on this show, for a start.
This proves how gullible the Americans are. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, in the sense that...
What? He's smothering himself mid-call.
I have sinned.
You have sinned, and the penalty is death. Sorry about that.
Nick Abbott.
Put that ruddy light out!
Come over there, man, come over there too! And watch out, those goddamn monkeys
bite you. Watch out for the monkeys. So it's 0500-1053-89. It is a freak all. And I am so stuffed, I don't know if I can speak. You're gonna have to do the first 10 minutes, Caroline. Massage my belly.
Actually, that visually was very, very funny.
There's
on air, I'm sure it, you know, sucked beyond all recognition.
Of course.
You know, like many things in this show.
Yeah. There is nothing. Yes, well, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Oh.
There's nothing childish about this program. Exactly. So we had a stormer yesterday, and I actually feel like I need to lie down. Nice cup of tea. I was reading about how good for you tea is. It's quite extraordinary. Flavonoids and antichrists. No, that can't be right.
But it's packed with caffeine, isn't it? Caffeine's not very good for you.
I'm sure it's okay.
It gives you palpitations.
Of the heart?
Mm-hmm. What other kind of palpitations are there?
I like that story, by the way, about you being able to get... there was two stories in one, both of which could be twin. I'm going to burp really big time now. Dip my mic down.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. There's two buttons in here. One is a cough button. And we should have a burp button.
You should.
That's too specific. It dips the microphone, and the other button is a talkback, which puts my voice directly into Kev's headphones. So I pressed them both and burped really loudly. Like I said, nothing childish about this program.
In my ear. Mm-hmm. I said it's not dissimilar to that one.
Of course, you've had it in the ear before, haven't you?
It's already
out. Well, I'm just a modern guy.
Hello.
Congratulations, you win a major prize. That was music lyrics from The Ig. So it's 0500-1053-89. Oh, I'm feeling a bit better now. Can you come in here and massage my stomach? My stomach.
No.
Oh, okay then, just checking. Should we take a 12-year-old first? I think this is extraordinary, this program. It's, you know, Peter Dealey is, you know, serious and with it and all that sort of jazz, and then we come along and play fart noises. What's that about? And people listening at home haven't got the faintest idea who I am. We just kind of, you know, they listen to talk radio of an afternoon. And forget that Peter's off at 7. Maybe, you know, they'll have gone to the lav or make a nice cup of tea. I'm enjoying a nice cup of tea myself. It has anti-wasnames in it. That's an actual scientific phrase, that.
Antinatals.
Anti-wasnames. Anti-free radicals. Free the radicals. I'm going to get a poster made. It's very good for you, apparently. You should drink at least 7 or 8 cups an hour, this article was saying.
What?
Yeah, of course. 7 or 8 cups per hour, night and day, to achieve maximum effect. It's a scientific fact.
The effect being?
You have to pee all the time. And you also turn into my granny. You have those little doily things all made into a blanket that you put over the back of a sofa. You remember those? Those woolen sort of, it's like a blanket or a sieve. You're like, what is it, you think? How can it possibly be warm? But it is. It's amazing. The dirty great big holes like that.
Oh, I
all multicolored.
Mm.
Awful looking things. And that's what grannies make. God knows how they make them. How do you knit something that's got holes in it?
Get some grannies on the phone. No, don't.
I mean, they must get a bunch of wool and a bag of holes. And somehow knit them together. Incredible. A little later on, we'll be explaining how many holes there it takes to fill the Albert Hall. But here's a child called Lenny.
Hi, Nick.
Lenny.
I've been on before, but this time it's South Park. Isn't it fantastic?
A South Park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've been watching it since the beginning?
Yes.
You know the one with Mr. Hankey?
Yeah.
Right, I've got a little piece from that. Can I play with it?
Probably not.
Why?
Because it's by far the rudest of them all.
No, this isn't a rude bit.
You're 12 years old?
Yeah.
Well, what are your parents doing? First of all, letting you stay up till 20 past 11 on a Friday night. And second of all, what are your parents doing letting you see adult material of that nature?
Brilliant.
Is that an answer to my question?
I don't know what they're doing. They sort of, like, don't mind.
Wow, that kid has some real emotional problems.
Probably. So you want to play us a bit of South Park?
Yeah, can I? It's the Christmas special one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the little the advert for the Mr. Hankey construction set.
Well, most certainly not, Lenny. No, please pretend that you've never seen it. Wipe it clean from your mind in every respect, and call me back in 5 years. 0500 1053 89 is a free one. We have to do what?
We have to take a break.
Just a second, fat ass.
I've eaten too much. Help. You know what you need when you've eaten too much? More food.
No, you need them anti-gas repellent things.
What? Yeah, I need those immediately. Get one in here right now.
Get Nick a stomach bump.
That is a man who has eaten a lot of meat.
No, I actually need chocolate, because that would be an excellent, because it aids digestion, I'm sure it does, because it's an instant sugar hit. So can we have Russ, who's doing nothing but draping himself over the furniture, go down and get me some, because there's an exotic chocolate shop just down, don't go to the newsagents, because you get that crappy cheap chocolate that everybody likes over here. I want you to get the exotic continental dark. They have it in bars on the left-hand side as you go in.
Yeah, who is it who makes that crappy cheap chocolate?
Oh, there's a couple of names. No. No, seriously, I'd like to name them. You know the bars that come like that you see by the newsagent? Awful crap. And they compete with each other to see, you know, which is the most luxurious and gorgeous, and they're both tripe. And one of them's called...
Oh, that would be a rummage bar, wouldn't it?
Probably not, no.
Oh.
But we should have a rummage bar. Get me a rummage bar in here immediately. I've got a bag over here, rummage in the bottom of that. I've just come from the gym. You'd probably want to wear rubber gloves before you put your hands in there. Disgusting.
Yeah, Russ, get Nick some chocolate.
Yeah.
Get us all some chocolate.
Yeah. I've got some money for you.
No, let him use his own money.
No.
Yeah.
Did you use your own money the other day when you went and bought some chocolate for us?
No, he used my money.
Good, because that chocolate was crap.
Oh, hey, come on, you said... Honestly, we're trying to be nice to you.
I believe there's 79... Perhaps we should get two bars, what do you think?
Yeah, get two. Is it still going to be open this time of night?
Well, I don't know.
Well...
Yeah, better we. Better we.
Better we?
Better we.
It's all that tea you've been drinking.
Yeah, I know. If you... tell me when there's a long break coming up, because I've got a wee.
So where am I going?
There's a chocolate shop beginning with TH.
Mm-hmm.
Turn left out of the front door.
Yeah.
And it's on the left... As you go in, it has bars, and I want dark continental.
Right.
You have to actually pronounce it like that, or they won't understand it.
Okay.
Can you say continental?
Continental.
It's very good.
The TH, by the way, is, yeah, that's the beginning. It's the chocolate shop.
Probably not, no. The Hortons. 0500 1053 89. It's a good grief. Is this 2 12-year-olds in a row? Dundee.
Yes.
Dundee.
Yeah, Dundee.
Yes, Dundee. Hi.
Yeah.
Let's start again. Hello, Dundee.
Hi.
So, what's up?
I'd like to add a comment to what the boy said about South Park.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it? Hardly ever rude.
It what, sorry?
It's hardly ever rude.
Hardly. Mm-hmm. Kenny said a staggeringly rude thing.
Was it as rude as what she just said?
Kind of, yeah. We had to dump the obnoxious kid. But I want you to dial 1471 and get the obnoxious kid's number, and then we'll scare the pants off the obnoxious kid when we call him back and tell the parents of the obnoxious kid what she just said on national radio. Won't that be amusing? Kenny said a staggeringly rude thing, and I only caught it when I replayed it and listened to it without when I listened to only the audio without watching the. What the hell am I talking about? Here's one in Yarmouth. Here's one in Yarmouth. What's so great about Yarmouth, John?
Well, what it is, like, I've just recently split on my girlfriend because she was like two-timing behind my back. And the person she was two-time with happens to be one of my best mates who I grew up with the whole of my life.
Wow. And how long were you going out?
Just over 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
And how did you find out that they were two-timing?
Well, what it was, like, my girlfriend, well, I'll call her my girlfriend now, well, ex.
Mm-hmm.
She told me she was going out with a few mates, and I was going out with a few of my mates as well. And we went to the cinema, like, to see that new Armageddon, whatever, that new something.
It's a what?
That new film.
Yeah, but it's called a what?
Armageddon.
Right, yes, Armageddon. Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
And you have to get the emphasis right.
Yeah, and anyway.
And how did you like the movie? Now we've got to dump
yeah,
him too. That's two
well.
In a row. Unbelievable. 0500 1050 389 if you think you can control yourself while you're on the air. It's amazing.
John, watch your mouth.
I know.
Damn it.
I mean, he's all right. He didn't, he just sort of let himself, he said in no uncertain words what he thought about Armageddon. And I think that that sums it up in a nutshell. Should we have him back on?
Do
you think you can control yourself, John?
Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't like the film, I gather.
I didn't know.
But I thought that was one of those great date flicks, and you go home and you make a sweet, passionate love afterwards, because it's thrilling and exciting and all that business.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But she went home and made sweet, passionate love to somebody else.
Yeah, well, what it was, like, I went to the cinema to see that film, and I was sitting right at the back with my mates, and I happened to notice my girlfriend was sitting right at the front.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, she was... like tongue wrestling with one of my best mates.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you perhaps introduce them to each other?
I didn't know. That's what I don't understand. It's just so unpredictable.
Does she know that you knew him?
Yeah, she does now.
Well, she does now, but did she then?
No.
Well, isn't that scary? It's almost like a soap. So she happened to be playing around and perhaps been doing that before. But you just happen to pick somebody that you know really well.
Yep.
Just to compound your misery.
Oh, no.
And so did you dump her immediately?
Not immediately. No, I let her sweat for a bit. I asked her, when she came back to my place that night, I asked her where she'd been, see if she enjoyed herself.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed herself, and she said that she went out with mates. And I happened to say that, well, some of my mates seen you with this other boy. I didn't tell them at that moment it was one of my best mates. I said, I've seen you with one of these boys, and she says that you was all over him. She was denying it and denying it. And she says, well, who was this boy who was spying on us? And I said, it was me.
And she said...
Oh, sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You controlled yourself that time. That was excellent, John.
Yeah, thank you.
And how long has it been over between you?
About 3 days.
3 days. And how are you feeling so far?
Really stressed out. This is so horrible.
Really?
Yeah. I'm on the lookout anyway.
Of course. An intelligent and probably attractive bloke like you. There's many more fish in the sea.
Yeah.
But none like her.
I know.
6 years. That's a long time. That's almost a world record, John. How old are you?
22.
What? You've been going out with the same girl for 6 years and you're only 22? Are you mad?
No, she meant everything to me.
Yeah, but please, you're 22. Go out and play around. That's what they advise. That's what the church advises. Go out and play around, they say.
Yeah, that's what I'll start trying to do.
Play the field. You're 22. Good grief, far too young to get. And in all that time, you were faithful.
Yep.
Unbelievable. You are you're unique, John. I can honestly say I've never heard of anybody like you. You should become a priest or something. Think about it. The priesthood needs upstanding young diligent chaps like you.
Yeah, the thing I'm worried about is I'm worried about my son.
What? Now you're making it up.
I wish I was.
Your son?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's only 6 months.
I think, precisely. Well, this just gets worse and worse, John. So who's stuck with the son? I mean, who has the pleasure of bringing up the son?
I don't know yet, but I really want full custody of him. It's, like, no way she's not going to treat me like that and get away with it.
Well, I thought that this was going to be like a relatively light little story. You're going to get over it within a couple of days, and you're going to be hanging out with some hot babes. But this is a misery story, John. Not liking this now.
No, I'm not.
No, me either. I'm saying I'm not liking this now. This isn't entertaining to me. This is a sorry story. But the best of luck is all I can say. Are you crying?
Sort of.
Oh. Can we send him something in the post? There's nothing we can send you that we can possibly make up for what you've been through. But,
We could send you 2 tickets to the movie, perhaps.
You are fired, Kev. Absolutely fired. I'm very sorry about that, John. That was insensitive. You are a complete...
Oh, come on, you can take his friend. Oh, no, we can't.
No, no. It just gets worse. Don't make me come in there. In a nutshell, Kev...
Remind me to whoop your ass good next time I see you.
I'll do it for you, John. All the best, mate.
Okay, thank you.
0500-1053-89. I think I was very sensitive and warm and caring there. As soon as I realised the gravity of the situation, I stopped mucking about. And you just went in for the kill.
I do apologize.
What kind of a sick freak are you?
I've clearly been associating with you for too long.
Oh, yeah, like it's my fault.
Yeah, of course.
That's what you get working with children.
The crew were mostly just kids. Rock and rollers with 1 foot in their graves.
Yeah, and more than you realize, Kev, 1 foot in your grave.
What's your number? What does that mean?
He's really specializing in busting my balls.
Oh. I can't believe that you were so awful to that bloke.
I'm sorry.
Are you mad?
I'm sorry. He's wacko, man. He's worse than crazy. He's evil.
Here's one in Dartford. I need help. I need tea. Can I have some more tea, please? We've got 2 bars of chocolate. Anybody want one?
Yeah, can we have one in here?
Sure.
Russ, before you get his tea, bring the chocolate through here.
Gary.
Hi, Nick.
How you going?
I'm all right, yeah. Do you like... I like South Park a lot.
Yes.
I'm only 16.
Yeah.
Can you play the Carl's Mum song for me?
Carl's Mum is a big fan.
I'm dedicated to Dartford Football Club.
Why?
I'm a big fan.
You dedicate
I'm
that...
I'm a director.
Dedicate that song to Dartmouth Football
Dartford.
Club. Dartford Football Club.
If you could, please.
What has this song got to do with Dartford Football Club?
I just think that Carl's Mum actually looks like someone. No names mentioned.
Right. And who is it exactly?
I'm not mentioning names.
Dartford. What league do they play in?
Dr. Martin's Southern Division.
What?
Dr. Martin's Southern Division. It's non-league.
You're making this up.
I'm not.
Wow. He's really aggressive about it, too.
Mate, now. Are you talking to me?
I think you better beat that phone box up there, Gary, and get out some of that hormonal rage. 0500-1053-89. It's a free call. And after yesterday's stormer of a show, look at the response that we've got here going here now. Absolutely awful.
It's pathetic.
I know. So should we play that to just kill a bit of time?
I think...
Or should we play it later?
Well, think about it this way.
Which way?
You could kill time now, or you could kill it later. I think you should just refuse to work.
Refuse to work?
Yeah.
In what sense?
Well, it's a big national radio station, and advertisers obviously have to be kept pleased, but I think you should just, you know, just stop until people treat you with the proper respect and get on the phones and give you the quality of call that a man of your stature deserves.
What's got up your nose?
Please hold.
Martini straight up with a twist. And a bowl of olives. Thank you so much. Oh, look at this. Russell's... Man, I spoke all over him. Russell's given me the receipt. In case he thought that I thought that he was going to... think the change from £2. So, I can't believe the response we got going here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's 0500 1053 89. Come on, help me out. I can't make all this stuff off the top. Well, I could. I could sit here and talk to Kev for 2 hours, but that would be awful. I like the story in the news, by the way, about you being able to buy Viagra just before you get on the train home. You know, those walk-in doctor places? Wasn't that the story on the news?
Mm-hmm.
And she followed it immediately by talking about superstition, which is what Peter was talking about. And, you know, people not walking under ladders and touching wood and stuff like that. And I thought you could combine the two by buying Viagra before you get on the train and then touch wood during the journey home. Just a thought. But there's this... Have you noticed that you got a lot of spiders at your house?
I don't have any spiders. I found one the other day. I was quite surprised.
What? Wait a minute. I don't have any spiders. I found one just the other day.
Yeah, because... I thought I had a spider-free flat, but I discovered quite a big spider, actually, and I brought it in for you as a present.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll eat it later. This is in the mail today. Step by silent step, an invasion of the nation's lounges, kitchens, and bathrooms is underway. Exactly. House spiders are on the march as never before. It says the eight-legged beasties... are frequently seen scuttling around the home in autumn. Apparently this is their party time. This year, however, they're enjoying a bonanza. The bad news for arachnophobes is that the breeding season has just begun. There's a disgusting thought. Spiders breeding. Those little breeders. And they've become much higher profile this year, says some expert. The word, I think he says, is widespread, as in lots of them. The glut's been caused by the poor summer, and we hear a lot about this weather increasing the amount of insects we've got over here. I don't like that. I think it should be stopped. Don't like insects. Nothing about the countryside appeals to me that crawls or flies. We should have mass spraying of everywhere to kill everything. Would that be wrong?
Yeah, I think conservationists may have a slight problem.
Really? Can we not concrete over all the grassy areas in the country in order to eradicate the insects?
Oh, you were going
to
say, can we concrete over all the conservationists?
Well, you could make them into speed bumps.
That's a good idea.
The glut has been caused by a poor summer. The house spiders have been gorging themselves on insects. So just picture that for one moment. Spiders gorging themselves on insects. Like, what's his name on the BBC? Well, those nature programs. There's a big one on birds coming up soon. That'll be good. But they always close right in on just the most icky, disgusting. And they always show it at tea time as well. What's that about? It's a direct question to you, Kev.
Well, I think that it depends on what time you have your tea. Because you probably have it, well... about 10 o'clock at night, don't you?
I've just had it. I just had too much of it. That was the problem. But, you know, then the camera will zoom right in on some disgusting, multi-eyed, eight-legged, hairy thing chewing on some green thing with stuff oozing out of it. Like that. And what always amazed me is, how do they get the sound? That must be put on afterwards, surely. It's not put on afterwards, and don't call me Shirley. Don't you think? Because often it never seems right. I mean, how do they got a... I can understand they could zoom a camera on it, but how do they stick a microphone so near that it's going to sound, you know, like that? They can't.
You're right, it's probably somebody with a carrot or something in a room and it's dubbed it afterwards.
That's
like
right.
In the movies.
So this is really bad news, because, you know, I'm not really scared of spiders, but I just don't like them, especially the big ones. I don't care if they're small ones, but small ones become big ones, or are eaten by big ones. Because that's another disgusting thing about spiders, is they eat each other.
Cats eat spiders as well.
Yeah, and then they come and lick your face.
Mm.
That really is horrible,
but
isn't
it? It's quite funny when they do eat them, though.
But it's better than what dogs do with their,
okay.
So anyway, the adult males, this is house spiders, right? And people are at home. Some people are at home, are lifting their feet off the ground as I speak. Some, house spiders started to appear 3 to 4 weeks ago. And the adult females are arriving around about now. Well, like, what, from their summer holidays? What does that mean, arriving? Like, they've just flown in. And they're unpacking. Like, huh? What do they mean, arriving? Well, they're here. They're here now. Like, right now. Your flat or your house is teeming with them. Turn off the light and you will... This is the most bizarre animals that live in my bathroom. And you only get to see them every now and again. And they look like... They're about a centimetre long. And they're kind of like little worms. Little wiggly little things. It looks like something that Mully and Scalder. What are their names? Scully and Mulder. They should be, you know, rooting them out, because they look like those little things that bury into your veins and then cause your eyeballs to explode.
You've got maggots in your bathroom.
No, they're not maggots. They're tiny little... I've never seen them before. They're about a centimetre long and very thin and little wiggly things. So they don't like light. They come out in the dark and you turn the light on and they wiggle away. Horrible. I don't like them.
And how many of these do you find in your bathroom?
Oh, a couple of hundred.
Crikey. Get the FBI on the phone.
No, one every now and again. So anyway, it's 'tis the season to be scared. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Because the spiders are about. This is where they, this is their time. Those which always seem to be running around in the bath are the males, apparently. The theory is that they become trapped as they hunt for water or mates. I didn't know spiders used condoms.
No, I think it means mates, as in...
Oh, going down to pub with their mates?
Yeah, yeah,
right. The females... Oh, blimey. Are you ready for this? The females lay 100 eggs each. Precisely. 100. Each female, 100. In a year, those new spiders... in 1 year, those 100 will be mating. So talk about your explosion, except... thankfully, this expert says, they eat each other. Because they're in your house and there's not that much food around, because there's not that many sort of flying insects that they can catch, the food becomes scarce and they turn on each other and eat each other. Do you have a vivid mental image of that? Some great, horrible, hairy spider eating another one?
Yeah.
Crunch, crunch.
I'm just trying to have some chocolate as well, so thanks for that.
Blah, blah, blah. The biggest ones can give you a nip to actually break the skin, it says. And don't we have the poisonous ones over here now? I was reading something about the black widow spiders, the ones that actually munch their mates.
Yeah.
I think they're called monikers.
Ooh. Topical?
You get one bite from that and you are actually really live and dead. Up dead. So you know, no cause for alarm. You're gonna be okay tonight, Kev? Or do you want me to come in and check under your,
Can I sleep in your house tonight? No, actually, I'm not going into your bathroom.
Icky.
Got worms.
Look at this now. Everybody wants to talk about something else. Do we take a break now?
No, you've got a while yet.
Can we take a break now?
No.
I want to eat some chocolate and drink some tea. Oh, please.
Give it 4 minutes.
You are a hard taskmaster. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And I'll just carry on, just so you can pretend that you're in charge. Here's one in Dungannon. Hello, Tommy.
Hello, Nick. I was wondering if you could maybe disclose to us what you had feasted on, which has caused you great discomfort, and also a wee problem with the talking.
It was just way too much food. It was about £3 worth of food, an enormous baked potato, huge, with tuna, and a great salad with it, in it.
And the liquid?
Water. Water and tea. And I'm about to have chocolate on top of it, which is delicious, and I can't wait.
Love the program, mate.
Thanks a lot.
All
right. 0500 1053 89. I was going to talk about footballers because there's just a survey going on about, because you know footballers are really stupid. There you go. You know how when anybody interviews a footballer after the game, it's like, well, don't know, really. It's like, we went out and we got playing, it was like terrific, and thanks very much.
Just a reminder, you can catch the best football commentary here on Talk Radio on Saturday afternoons with Moz D.
Yeah. In fact, that's what Moz sounds like most of the time. No, he doesn't. That's a dreadful thing for you to have said, Kev.
I can't believe I said that.
Well, I can't believe you said that as well. What the hell are you thinking of?
Moz, mate, I'm sorry.
But no, they're stupid. And you know why they're stupid? Well, first of all, they're stupid. And second of all, they get hit in the head with a ball a lot. Which is like boxing. You know, every time you see one head the ball, especially if it's coming at them really fast, the brain inside is suspended in liquid. Did you know this?
I did.
It's not just like a walnut rattling around in a dry cup. It's a great big, soggy, gooey thing suspended in liquid. And so if you hit somebody at the front, then just like a car crash, the brain will smack on the front and then on the back and so on and so on. You see what I mean? And so eventually you'll get this sort of bruised, dull area at the front and the back, which is what boxers have, which is why I always like talking like that. And footballers talk like that as well because they've been hit in the head too much. What's your excuse, Kev? Here's the call in. That was not apropos of anything, actually. It was sitting on my desk, so I thought I'd read it. Do you want to hear the whole thing?
No.
Professional footballers are to undergo tests for brain damage caused by repeatedly heading the ball. A group of young players will be monitored throughout their careers. And it's hoped that the tests by the Football Association's medical committee will resolve the controversy over whether modern, lighter footballs can cause mental decline. In other words, what's the point? They hope it will solve the controversy. How? So they follow these guys, and some of them will, start talking like that. And some of them might not. What, are they going to count the amount of times that they've headed the ball? And where's the control group? People who don't play football. I mean, this is ridiculous. Have you ever heard of anything so silly?
Well, it's hardly putting an end to any sort of controversial aspect, because the first I heard about it is when you mentioned it just then.
Previous experience. Oh, yeah, you must have heard about this, because they used to have a much heavier ball that would get incredibly heavy when wet, the old leather ball.
Mm.
And people who, they would actually, on some occasions, take your head completely off. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Some penalties have been scored with people's heads. Because they'd be just littered all over the pitch. And if the ball would go into the crowd, you know, in the 1930s, something like that, very expensive, those balls. It wasn't like today where they have, balls all over.
Mm.
And players' heads would be just sort of littered around. And so, why not? Absolutely, the ball goes into the crowd keeps it, you just use a head.
Wow.
Hence the phrase, use your head.
I see.
This is an education, this show, isn't it?
So why isn't it called head ball, then?
Shut up.
I'm very sorry, Nick.
Here's one in... Yeah, don't apologise to me. Apologise to Moz.
What?
Here's one in West Yorkshire. Hello, John. John. Oh, I haven't pressed him up. John! Too late. Here's one in Buxton. Merlin. Merlin.
Hello.
Merlin.
Hi, Ron. I'm sorry, Nick. I'm eating.
Okay, I'll put you on hold. Here's one in Carlisle. Baz.
Hello, Nick.
Baz.
Hello.
Baz.
How are you?
All right.
I was listening the other night.
You're not Baz from the Happy Mondays. Oh, no, that was Bez, wasn't it? Can you go Menno?
Very good. You're getting Fanta? Yes, I thought it might make you laugh. Yeah. I was laughing myself, and I thought that was worth a double take.
You've got to have a laugh.
You're getting Fanta.
You're getting Fanta. Got to have a laugh, innit? So, what's up, Baz?
Dear little Flo.
You're not going to just start doing Derek and Clive for us, are you?
Oh, come on.
There's virtually nothing on that album that you can actually say on the air.
You probably know every line.
I do. I much prefer the song at the end. There is the Dear Little Flo thing, but on some CDs, they actually covered an old country song. Did you hear that?
The, just one of those songs.
No, not that. You perhaps haven't heard this. It wasn't on your copy of the album, but they covered a country song right at the end of the album.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
Can I help you?
How may I help you? How may I help you?
I'm stalling because I've got a mouthful of chocolate.
Would you like me to give out the relevant numbers and things?
No, I'd like you to come in here and put your hand out and I'll spit the chocolate into it.
No!
And you can save it for later.
Fax number 0541-5969.
Oh, yeah, we want them to fax something, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Now, at the moment, somebody is faxing a 28-page document to Tommy Boyd, so you may have a little bit of trouble getting through initially.
Why?
I have no idea. I don't know why. Some doctor is faxing stuff about, what's this about? Bill Clinton. To Tommy, and it's like 28 pages, and it's got like another 8 pages to run.
Did Tommy ask for it?
Well, if he did, he must have asked for it on this program, because I don't recall him asking for it before Peter's program this afternoon.
Is it interesting?
No, it's very...
Well, call him up and tell him to stop it.
It's deeply boring. Well, I think he's probably pressed send, and I don't think... Because it looks like it's off a computer, so I think it's going to have to run its course.
Oh, good grief. Just take the paper out of the machine.
But then when you put the paper back in the machine, it'll print out the...
Really, doesn't faxes have the technology to just, you say, stop? Well, I don't want this anymore.
This one just seems to hold everything in memory.
Well, that's outrageous.
Churn it out. All right.
Because those junk faxes, it's using up your paper, man.
Well, get the engineering department on the phone.
I mean, people could, like, go to an internet site or something like that that's got 100 pages on it and just fax it to you. And you'd be stuffed. You'd be sitting there and this paper would be pouring out of your machine. You have no way of stopping it. Is that what you're saying? That's incredible.
Kind of. We'll investigate that, shall we?
Yeah. Think about it.
But what we want by fax is, there's a department here at Talk Radio called Forward Planning, or Futures. And one of the many and various interesting things that they do is, like, program synopses, which are pretty much saying what's happening on the program.
No.
For example, Bill Overton, 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, Bill's first with the top stories of the day and your chance to take part on the first opinion poll of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's for other presenters to read out so that it gives an indication of what you can expect to hear on other people's programs.
Right.
The problem is that Nick's entry reads thusly. 7 till 9, Nick Abbott. Bounce your ideas off, Nick, and set the agenda for a great evening's entertainment.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, no!
So what we wanted, because we really can't be bothered doing it ourselves, better program synopses. Describe the program, preferably in only a few lines, and send it to 0541-5969-79. And your prize is to hear talk radio presenters tomorrow and maybe the next day, as many as we get, the best ones we'll use, reading out what you said about the program. So don't just be rude about it, because I don't see Anna Rayburn's going to say Nick Abbott's coming up and he'll play poo noises or anything. So 0541 59 69 79, please. Thanks. Or email nabbott@talk-radio.co.uk.
Haven't you stopped speaking yet? Good grief, boy.
But don't phone them.
Here's one in Bournemouth. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
All right.
Great show last night.
It was fabulous.
It was brilliant. Yeah, speaking of faxes...
Yeah.
we once had a fax into our office, and it said, the number of pages, including this one, is naught.
What?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And then we also had one on our printer, and it says, please read this message. And that was it.
That was it?
Yeah. Okay, the reason why I meant I was going to phone you is that you get some rather strange phone calls. Well, I work on a job centre switchboard.
Oh, blimey, I can just imagine.
Oh, yeah, but this was really good. It was like they'd rang the wrong place. Okay, so it went like this, word for word. Hello, job centre switchboard, Richard speaking. Then there was a long pause. And he said, is that Alan? And I said, no, this is Richard. Then there was another long pause. Then he said, can I have two large jacket potatoes with chili on them, please? And I said, oh, this is a job centre. We don't do jacket potatoes in a job centre.
We just do jobs.
Just do jobs,
yeah.
That's right.
And some people have small jobs, some people have big jobs.
Yes, that's right. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Fabulous, Richard.
Okay.
I'll have one with tuna mayo and sweet corn. Thank
absolutely.
You so much.
Absolutely, I'll send it through the post.
Okay, 0500 1053 89. It is a free call. Here's one in, or rather on, the A1. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Nick. Nice to speak to you. I've got an amusing little story for you.
Okay, lay it on us, dude.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was in Israel seeing some people, some friends of my wife's, and they were talking about all the deadly animals and snakes and spiders in their garden.
Really? In Israel?
In Israel.
Huh.
And I decided to go and have a pee, and lo and behold, while I'm standing there, this spider with great big muscular legs came out from behind this curtain where I'm looking dead straight ahead. It had no hair. It was grey with red rings on it. And I just stood there terrified.
Now, are you sure it was grey or black?
It was grey, with red rings on it.
Well, red rings is a sign of real danger.
I knew this. So, I was a little bit worried for the part of the anatomy that was actually not tucked away at the time. And ran out of the bathroom, sort of screaming that this thing was there. And my wife's friend shouted, oh, I wondered where that was. I was too frightened to tell anybody about it.
Unbelievable. Did you kill him?
By the time she gave me the carpet basher, the thing had escaped.
The carpet basher, is that the name of the house boy?
No, it was the carpet beater thing.
I see.
Big enough and heavy enough to whack this spider.
Of course. And did you give it to the house boy called
Makesh Alak Makarabis?
Thanks for the bad news there, Bill. Keep it tucked away at all times. 0500 1053 89. Horrific. What's the worst? give me a bad spider story now, Kev.
Right.
You want to speak so much on this station?
I don't, though.
Absolutely you do. Yak, 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 yak.
I was just saying interesting things so that people could win. You know, Lorraine Kelly saying Nick Abbott's on tonight and he'll be doing this.
Is that all they win?
And they'll probably win a prize pack as well.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What's in the prize pack?
Well, you get a picture of you.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt and a badge and a pen and all sorts of gubbins.
Really?
Mm. They're quite good, and it all comes in a nice bag.
It does?
Yeah.
What kind of a bag?
It's a nice sort of genuine leather thing with, like, brass buckles.
Genuine leather?
Yeah.
You're lying.
No.
Well, don't lie on the air, because people will write and complain,
oh, you said I was going to get a genuine leather bed with braille sparkles.
All right.
And it comes in this cheap plastic thing.
No, they're quite hard-wearing, and they're very well made. And it's
quite hard-wearing? Well, what have you been doing in them?
And they're like sort of a record bag thing, you know.
Oh, one of those groovy Soho hip-hop yo-yo bags.
Yes. And you get it all in one of them, and they're very good. And it's got a picture of you and a picture of Carol now, which you didn't have before. A new picture of Mike Allen.
Yeah.
And everybody else on the station. Oh, and Bill as well. Bill Beale's got a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice. And, it's a winner.
Well, whoever wins it will be.
Yeah.
No question about it. Are you sure that we've got the technology and the budget to send one of these?
Oh, yeah.
Can I have one?
Well, we'll send prizes to the best three. How's that?
Is that an answer to my question?
Can you have one?
Yeah. No, in other words. I hate you.
All right.
0500 1053 89. It is a free call. Did we take the break or not?
No.
We haven't taken the break. We'll better do that now. So we have a fax from a Dr. Scroat.
Probably not his real name.
No, probably not. And he says, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but the creatures in your bathroom are threadworms. You know, I was describing those little centimeter-long, wriggly little things? Yeah. Threadworms. What's that? He says, Dr. Scroat says, and have come from your own...
Careful.
...paths. He says, seriously, they really do sound like these kind of worms. Do you ever get an itchy ring? I don't wear any jewelry. No, absolutely not. I am off-ended. Emphasis on the end.
Maybe you should see a doctor, though. Have you had the results of your brain scan yet?
No.
I really think you should open it on the air, the results.
What?
I think you should say, and the winner
and
is...
And now...
The end is near.
Yeah. I'm not sure that this music that we have going up to the news now, because we've been having that banging piano music for a good long while, and it started to irritate me, especially the bit at the end where it goes ding 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 ding, that bit, awful,
ding,
annoying.
Ding a ding ding.
So if we're going to go back to it, we have to edit that out. But we've got something else.
Not sure about it.
No, we're not sure about it. So we would like your vote or not. We don't really care what you think. Yeah. We'll just do what we want anyway. Here's one in Derby. Hello, John.
Hello.
John.
Hello.
Hello.
A few weeks ago, you was talking about the Manic Street Preachers, and you couldn't understand what the lyrics was about.
Right.
Well, I think the reason for it is that they've learned a lesson from Grandmaster Flash, who was banned by the BBC for that record, White Lines, which was anti-cocaine.
Definitely.
Record, and I think the BBC misconstrued what the record was about.
How the hell could they misconstrue what that record was about? It was called White Lines, Don't Do It.
Precisely, yeah.
Where's the confusion there?
Precisely. This is the confusion, is why they actually, the lyrics are clear as day.
Perhaps the BBC thought that they were encouraging poor driving.
Well, they did another one with Split Ends, 6 months in a Leaky Boat, and it just happened to come out at the same time as the Falklands.
Never get out of the boat.
And,
absolutely goddamn right.
They found that as well, for no reason whatsoever. But, you know, the lyrics are totally... There's nothing in the lyrics.
Well, perhaps the BBC have been hit in the head with a football a lot. I don't know. We should check. Are they playing that song by Beautiful South called Perfect Ten?
I've not
heard.
No, I haven't listened to them for a while.
I bet they are. Well, neither have I, but I bet they are. Probably the most here's that song. Listen, John, we got to go.
Okay,
but it's probably the most offensive song that has ever been broadcast in the daytime radio, and it's sung so sweetly and nice that nobody really pays attention to the lyrics. Beautiful South, Perfect Ten. I know I've talked about this before. Incredible. I Walk on the Wild Side, there's a dirty song. Blinded by the Light. That's an incredibly rude song. That's so spectacularly rude, you wouldn't even believe it, by a Manfred Mann's Earth Band, written by Bruce Springsteen. Shocking. I was shocked when I actually paid attention to those lyrics.
We should have a rude song Friday.
Yeah, and Curly Whirly wasn't the chocolate bar of the same name. We'll be back.
Nick Abbott.
I like that song going up to the news a little bit more this time. What did you think?
Undecided.
Yeah, we don't know. Here, let's just start steaming through these calls, because some of these people have been waiting forever. Here's one in London. Hello, buddy.
Hello.
Buddy.
Good evening. This spider business.
Spider business.
Right. You know, spiders were created by nature in its wisdom to clean up the insects you have in your house. So it's an indication that you have infestation of insects.
An infestation?
Of insects.
Don't you mean just you open the window and flies come in? An infestation? What the hell are you talking about,
right,
buddy?
Like when you're eating a bit of chocolate and you spill your tea, the crumbs of chocolate on the ground, and you're a bit careless and or lazy to clean up.
Yeah.
Well, the insects do your job for you. So the insects are there to clean up your mess, and the spiders are there to clean up the insects.
Okay.
That's nature's way of doing it.
So all we have to do is wait till the spiders are full and then thwack them.
No, they're going to go and die when they finish their job. There are no insects to eat, they go and lie down and die. That's their job. It's like the carrion. They come to eat out the corpses, no more corpses, they lie down and die.
I don't want rotting corpses littering my gorgeous flat, buddy. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, you have little corpses there, those insects. Spiders come to clean them up for you.
Have you ever heard of that, the little thin wriggly things that are about a centimetre long?
You mean those little worms?
That live in the bathroom? What are they?
Yes.
Icky.
Possibly something, some muck on your skin that you didn't clean properly off the bathtub, probably.
What?
Yeah, these things happen.
They're not coming from me. They appear from underneath the bath and then wriggle into a little, tiny little hole when you switch the light on.
Yeah, you see, when this sort of smell or whatever it is that you is in your bath, so they just somehow the other.
My bath doesn't smell, buddy. What are you talking about, man?
It will if you have that's the reason for having a bath, because you have certain things in your skin that are smelly and you want to wash them off.
I've never been more offended by any call I've ever taken.
I only say that it's nature's way of cleaning up.
There's nothing that ever gives an odoriferous whiff in my bathroom.
Okay. It's only an indication of how these things run. The ecology of things.
Okay, well, I'm indicating something to you right now, buddy.
Right.
Yeah, go forth. 0500-1053-89. It's a free call. Here's one in... Bark up?
Bake up. Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, it's all right. It's just outside Lancashire.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
What's up, James?
Right, I was just going about the bugs. Are they silverfish? Are they like little maggots, like moth maggots?
What's a silverfish?
Silverfish, that live under the carpet. Call them silverfish. I don't know what the real name is.
Well, what do they look like?
What can I say? They've got a scaly back, very silver, and they like sort of swim instead of walking or running.
Yeah. How big are they?
Oh, tiny little things. I suppose they vary between like 3 millimeters and a centimeter.
Yeah, that's it. That's them.
The silverfish.
How can you possibly know it's got a scaly back? It's that small. What do you investigate them with a microscope?
Ah, that's strange. No, the beetles were actually called the silver beetles after them before they actually changed the name just to the beetles.
Is that a fact?
It is. I would not fool you.
It's an education.
Something has to be.
So, is that what it is? Silverfish?
Silverfish, I think so, yeah.
And how do you get rid of them?
You don't.
What?
They feed your spiders over winter.
But I don't want spiders.
Of course you want spiders.
No,
if you don't. Have spiders, you're going to get infestations.
Oh, now we're back to the infestations.
Yes, of course,
I don't live in India, man.
No,
I live
you don't
in London. It's a London thing, isn't it?
Nah. Of course not. Of course not, mate.
Everybody in there on the EIEIOs. Here we go.
EIEIO.
Perfect. And people are hugging their knees to their chest just at the very thought of spiders, James.
Oh, spiders are fantastic. I've got some amazing spiders in my house.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And how do they taste?
I don't eat them. I'm a vegan.
You're a vegan?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. We're buddies.
You're a vegan. How have you lived so long, James?
Oh, I'm very
healthy.
Every vegan I have
No, it ain't. Every vegan I have ever seen looks close to death.
Ah, well.
I must be an exception.
Are you one of these macrobiotic nuts?
No, not completely. No.
But nuts constitute a large part of your diet.
Yeah, plenty of nuts. Well, apart from that fellow that phoned you just before now, that attitude that he had, that's another very Buddhist attitude, though.
What was that?
About the actual cleaning up of the insects.
Live and let live.
Et cetera.
No, I'd rather root them out at source.
Yeah, of course you would.
I'd rather...
cruel, man.
I don't spend all that money to be kicked out the door by an infestation of insects.
Yeah, of
course. Icky poo.
Oh, there was one other thing I was going to mention.
Yeah, another thing.
Because you're such a clever fellow. Yeah, I was wondering if you heard about a programme that was on TV last night.
Why would this constitute cleverness on my part?
Lost Civilization.
Oh, no, I've taped it, but I haven't seen
fantastic.
It yet. Well, okay, well, don't tell me anything about it.
I won't, I promise.
Okay, top man. Well,
a serious piece of TV.
I am going home to watch it tonight.
To go.
But there was a review that said that there wasn't... I guess I shouldn't talk about it because I haven't actually seen it, but the review said that... basically, it's a guy who's... what was it? The basic summation is that it's a bloke who says that civilizations used to be, I can't remember what it was. What was it?
There were more light involved as opposed to physical. They were more etheric as opposed to physical.
Oh,
there was a lot more connection with the light side as opposed to the...
Right,
to
so in other words, the pyramids and the sphinxes and all that were supposed to be representations of...
The star patterns.
Constellations, right.
They are in line anyway, they are.
But apparently the review said that it wasn't rigorously scientific in that we only heard one view.
No.
Which is the same as when you hear those people who go on about, you know, the big lines in the desert and wherever it is. Is it Brazil or somewhere?
Machu Picchu and Peru and places like that.
Probably sounds
about
right.
No, it's not Von Daniken based. It's...
There used to be landing strips for UFOs,
No,
UFO would come billions of light years from another civilization and would need a long landing strip to land. Please, they just park themselves. In a puff of smoke, they'd appear. Like that. Can you imagine the stupidity of traveling billions of light years to another civilization in a plane that needs like a 100-mile long landing strip? I mean, suppose you... How would they know that we're going to have like a long, flat, straight line before they got here? This entire planet could have been covered in trees. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Alien spaceships from another galaxy, they'll just land like that. I've seen it in the movies.
Or they could beam down.
That's right, they could beam down. Good point, Kev. You useless great gonk. Where's my Star Trek music? Damn it.
Oh, it's in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stop him there because he's going to start talking about his captain's log. Here's one in... what?
Break?
We're going to take a break now?
Please.
Oh, blimey. You are so demanding.
You're a cheeky monkey.
But talking about TV, and while I finish my jog work, best comedy show ever on television.
Simpsons.
Best host.
Bruce Forsyth.
Best TV entertainer.
Eric Morecambe. Where does that count as a comedian? Failing, does it have to be British?
No, I don't think it does, actually.
If it was best TV entertainer and you're talking, like, worldwide,
I know what you're going to say.
What?
David Letterman!
Correct.
Is the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
Best TV drama series?
Ever?
Ever. Oh. How about Bouquet of Barbed Wire? Not because it was great, just because it was shown at a time when I was, very, very young. And it was probably the rudest thing that I had seen on television to that point. Talk about sauce.
That's a difficult one, because you'd have to sit down and think about it a bit, wouldn't you?
Funniest radio show?
Ian Collins and the Creatures of the Night.
Best TV sitcom? You're fired, by the way.
Well, try not to be too obvious. Best TV sitcom, probably The Simpsons again. Does that count as it had to be live action?
Sexiest woman on TV.
Oh, good grief. Jennifer Aniston.
Best soap opera. They're all crap. They are all crap, all of them.
Albion Martin.
I would have to say, as ridiculous as this sounds, and it's not really a soap opera in the sense that Coronation Street and all that lot is. Did you say Albion Market?
Yeah. You had a 7-second delay there or something.
It's not like, it wasn't on sort of 5 days a week or something like that, but I got more pleasure from the first two series of Dynasty than every episode of Coronation Street that's ever been put on the air.
But I like Dallas.
Oh, I said Dynasty, didn't I?
Yeah.
I never saw one single episode of Dynasty.
Oh, you
at
meant,
all.
You
not,
meant Dallas.
I meant Dallas, yeah. Not one single Dynasty episode did I see. Not one.
I thought JR was cool.
Absolutely, yeah, he was the best.
You know they're making TV movies of that now.
Oh, they shouldn't.
Oh, apparently they're okay. Apparently he's very good.
Well, of course he's JR. Is he still alive? I thought
he
died.
No, he's like 69 or something. It was his birthday this week.
What about Flojo, the woman with the fingernails?
Oh, she died.
Yeah. I think somebody came at her with a syringe and she popped.
I doubt that's the case.
Oh, really?
Mm. It was a heart attack, as I understand it.
Caused by?
I don't know.
Running faster than any human female ever had before, yes. What a surprise. Well, you're not far off, actually, because they've just done this, they've polled 15,000 people, which is a pretty good survey. Best comedy show ever, 15,000 people. This is a cross-reference to reflect society as a whole, in other words, the age and the sex and so on and so on and so on.
Hmm.
And best comedy show. Did you read this? The thing.
No,
I haven't. Quite a few
of
the papers. Almost all of this stuff is ancient, like at least 20 years old. In other words, people have picked almost nothing at all from television in the last at least 10 years, mostly more. Best comedy show, Morecambe and Wise.
I would say that I would probably agree with that because I think Eric Morecambe is the greatest British comedian who ever lived.
Host with the most. I can't understand this. Des Lynam? Do you get that?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He is?
Yeah.
All that interminable stuff that he did during the World... Oh, dear. During the World Cup on the BBC, with him sitting with Alan Hansen and...
Ali McCoist.
Ali McCoist, I thought he was all right.
He was.
Alan Hansen really just... It's like fingers on a blackboard, you know, like nails going down a blackboard to me. I just can't stand him. And him and Jimmy Hill, in, you know, bickering like little girls over nothing at all. Painful. Awful. Like, it didn't matter what was on the other channel you'd want to switch over. If ITV were in a commercial break and they were showing the same match, you'd want to watch the damn Nescafe couple.
They're very good.
Of course. So I don't get that. The host with the most. What about Dickie Davis?
He was great. He had a nice
little flick, like, yeah. Frankenstein's monster, the Frankenstein's bride flick at the front.
Well, that
yeah.
Look at a Quantum Leap did as well.
What?
Never mind.
Quantum Leap?
No. Never mind. Move on.
So who was the best host of all time? I suppose that would be David Letterman again.
Yeah, well, there we are.
Best TV entertainer, David Letterman. Best TV drama series, David Letterman. No.
No.
Best TV drama series. I don't know. Can I come back to that one?
I was a huge Twin Peaks fan. I don't know if that
counts. Oh, yeah. I suppose it would. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks. I can remember being so thoroughly excited when that program was on the air. You'd take the phone off the hook and just get yourself and, like, dim the lights and start freaking out. And I remember at the end of the program when they had that...
Yeah, it would always scare you.
Yeah, it would always make me jump. And they'd have... I can't remember quite what it was. It would be this... Like a light... Like
Lynch Frost Productions.
Yeah, that's right. And it would be some sort of... Like a lightning flash or something like that. And it always made you jump out of your skin.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's right. Funniest radio show. Kenny Everett or Neil Rogers. One of the two.
Nobody knows who Neil Rogers is.
Neil Rogers, a talk show host in Miami. You can download his shows on the website, WQAM. You can actually go into it, click on the thing that looks like a radio, and you can listen to old shows. Just click on the date that you want, and the show starts to play. It's brilliant, especially if you're not paying the bill.
I was only joking, by the way, when I said Ian should be nominated in that category. I meant Mike Allen.
Best TV sitcom.
It's going to be Cheers or something, isn't it? Fawlty Towers.
I guess it would have to be Cheers, yeah. Because Fawlty Towers was only 12 of them or something like that. Yeah. Cheers ran for about 10 years. Sexiest woman on TV, Jennifer Aniston, yeah.
Well, it kind of
have to
that.
Be. Best soap opera, they all suck. British soap operas are just dreadful, full of really hideously ugly people moaning about how dreadful their life is. I don't understand the popularity of those things at all. And we are bizarre in this respect in this country. Every soap in every other country is not like that. They're all about sex. They've all got ridiculously good-looking people with fabulous teeth and perfect tans. Quite often having huge amounts of money, and they're all, you know, backstabbing each other and, you know, having sex with each other and finding long-lost brothers they didn't know they had, you know. You know, long-lost sisters they didn't know they'd killed, you know, that sort of thing. Takes his girlfriend out to the cinema and finds it's actually his mother, you know, that sort of thing. And here, it's like,
made of turkey, but it's all dried up. Oh, I really hate you,
What, were they footballers?
If you only come back from the pub like 3 hours ago, our marriage will mean, can't work between us.
And then that funereal terminal music that they have on the end of Coronation Street that just makes you want to kill yourself. This is exactly what it sounds like. This is Coronation Street. Happy, happy, hooray! And 17 million people like that show. It's incredible. Can you believe it? Anybody in there watch Coronation Street or its twin on the BBC? The BBC said we're getting screwed by Coronation Street, so what we actually need in order to make people, you know, paying the license fee worthwhile is to have a viable alternative, something, an alternative to some stupid soap that's on like 5 days a week. So what should we do? I know, let's do exactly the same damn thing and set it in London. Unbelievable! That, man, the difference being that it was a London thing. And as soon as you see it, you want to get into the barrel. Anybody watch soaps in there?
I watch EastEnders sometimes on a Sunday.
You do?
I'll see bits of it, because there's nothing else on at all.
The omnibus.
And I'll
makes me want to get on an omnibus and just fly away.
You drift in and out of EastEnders, though. I mean,
I drift in and out of consciousness if you put me in front of EastEnders.
You must sort of tune in and, like, watch a
never,
scene and what you...
Never seen a whole episode of either Coronation Street or EastEnders. I guess that makes me some sort of freak in this country.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I was just checking. But I just don't understand the appeal, because it's... First of all, everybody in it looks hideous. Everybody in it is poor and has a dreadful life, and it's just a misery fest, and people rush home to see this. I don't get it.
Well, maybe it's you watch it and you feel better about yourself because these fictional characters are all worse off than you and having more emotional crises.
Well, I had thought about that, but I don't think that it is cathartic in that respect. I think it just makes you miserable. Because why is our country unique in its soaps being morbid, grey, almost uniformly a sort of a browny-grey colour? And, seriously, Ainsley Harriott and his stupid team need to go around and give their flats a makeover.
Does Ainsley do that, or does he just go around?
Apparently, believe it or don't, the BBC have just started a new series tonight.
Is it another one about fixing people's houses and gardens?
It's all the stupid shows that they stick on in afternoons and all combined into one. It's amazing. Get me a TV listing in here right now. I want the TV listings from some newspaper. The show that they've just started on tonight, I mean... I know I bang on about the BBC every now and again, but good God, they certainly do deserve it, don't they? Come up with tripe like this and claim that we're getting the value for money. Incredible. What they actually want to do is do what Channel 4 did last night. Channel 4 seemed to have taken over the mantle of what the BBC actually should be doing and producing excellent programs about, scientific discoveries and architecture and art and all that good stuff. That's what the BBC should be doing. And has there been one single damn series that in any respect that has covered that in the last year or so? Can you think of one? In fact, I think the BBC just sent out a circular that said, sorry about how crap we've been. We should actually have been doing this groundbreaking art stuff, because they used to. Ascent of Man was one of theirs. It was absolutely fantastic program. Civilization, brilliant. Shock of the New, it was fantastic. All this stuff is at least 10 years old. And since then, what have we had? We had that stupid soap that was set in Spain that was so bad you virtually wanted to throw your TV out the window. And bloody EastEnders. It's incredible what they get away with. Here's your lineup on BBC One tonight. EastEnders, there it is, 7:30.
What happens?
Gitta keeps her head down as the papers enjoy the story of her, Sanji, and baby Aaron. Will Polly also have the sense to lay low, or will she face the wrath of Albert Square, misery, grief, and horror? It's even the description brings to mind the color gray. And furthermore, it's raining.
Again.
8 o'clock, Fraud Squad, an anti-counterfeiting...
You okay there?
An anti-counterfeiting team search for fake Levi's. So in other words, it's another one of those watchdog things.
Mm.
Oh, you're being ripped off, and Anne Robinson will come on, will be wheeled on at the end to wink at the camera. So far, it's exactly the same as any other day. You know, give it another name, put another presenter in there. Then, party of a lifetime. This is what I was talking about. You hold on to your seat, because it's about to start.
Is it?
Yeah, 8:30, 3 of your Earth minutes. Chef Ainsley Harriott, who has got to be, singularly, the most annoying television presenter in the history of the medium. Am I right? I mean, it's, what the hell do they think that that man has got that's worth putting on evening television?
He's quite loud.
Isn't he ever loud?
He's quite a good cook.
Is he?
Well, I've never tasted any of his food, admittedly, but he's meant to be.
Would you want to taste anything that that man had made? I mean, with his hands? So, Ainsley Harriott, Yeah, afternoon TV. Let's look at that for a second. Afternoon television on the BBC. Good God. First it starts with, morning, like daytime television. First it starts with Kilroy, which is so unbelievably bad now. I mean, Kilroy, actually, he looks like he's left the coat hanger in his jacket. He's so stiff and stilted now.
Do your Kilroy impression.
No.
You know the bit when he says at the end, see you in the morning.
See you in the morning. It's like, da-da-da-da-da. Everything he says is like that. Awful. And then, because they've had the conference thing. Like, who the hell wants to see that? Seriously, Conference Live 98, the Liberal Democrats conference in Brighton. Do they legally have to show this? Because there can't be one single person. I bet not one single person in this audience, which is a fair cross-section of the human race in this country, watch that program. And can you imagine? Can you imagine the boredom of sitting through a party political conference? Good grief.
And on that note, don't miss Talk Radio's exclusive coverage of the conference. I'm joking, of course.
Phew.
Well, actually, I don't think I am. I think we are doing something on it.
Well, doing something on it is one thing, but actually having the thing on for 2 hours in the morning is like something else. 2 hours on one channel with a further 2 hours on another channel. 4 hours of that.
Yeah.
And so it is almost beyond belief. It is almost as though this was you'd expect Jeremy Beadle to walk on at any time and say, we're just kidding. Of course we are. Bloody Ainsley Harriott starts a new series in which he's invited to lay on surprise parties, right? So it gets worse. And it would be a surprise too. Mostly a surprise for Ainsley Harriott. He ever shows up at my place and wants to put on a surprise party. The surprise would be in the reception. So he's doing the stupid cooking thing that he does, and he'll be pretending like he's a comedian with the people that he's cooking up a meal with. Not too annoying. Furthermore, Oz Clark will be doing his it's fruity notes in this one, and I've scenting the essence of dung here. You know,
taste of tarmac.
I know.
How do they know?
I am scenting essence of dung here. So Ainsley Harriott's going to be in the kitchen pretending to be a comedian with the people that he's cooking the food for, and Oz Clark will be rolling his fruity vowels around some, South African vintage. Meanwhile, the people, and I know that you're not going to believe this, as incredible as it sounds, meanwhile, the people from that other show where they transform people's rooms, seriously, are going to be setting up the party room. So it's four of the most suck-hole television shows that are on combined into one. I mean, and that is peak time. That is their prime show tonight, 8:30. It's on now.
So don't watch it. Let's do us instead.
I'm virtually speechless. Justify that to me. Justify that to me. I mean, they just thought, well, hell, we don't have anything on, so let's put all of the crap in one bucket. It is beyond belief. And then they have the news. And then Men Behaving Badly, which a lot of people like, I've never seen. And then Crime Watch, which is like a watchdog for criminals. Isn't it? I know I have a go at the BBC, but just look at the tripe they're putting out.
What's on after Crime Watch?
After Crime Watch, did you know what was on after Crime Watch before you asked?
I didn't.
Oh my God. A program called Escape. Guess what that is? It's a bloody history of car crashes on our roads. It's police stop. Without the chasing, just the stopping part.
Happy.
I'm in shock. I mean, what can you say? What can you say? It doesn't get any worse than that. And there's a picture of Ainsley Harriott, too. Just never mind about the food he cooks. Just looking at him makes me want to puke.
Have we taken any calls yet this hour?
I don't know. Oh, here's Ainsley Harriott on the phone. Wants to surprise us with a party.
I think he's filling in for James Whale next week.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you want him to do a trail into the programme?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Oh...
So,
I'm exhausted now.
Back to the phones.
Yeah, okay.
Who's been holding the longest?
Blimey. Margaret, you've been holding for so long, I deeply apologise. I was off on one.
That's all right. I was having good fun in the phone box listening to you.
You were?
Yeah.
That's probably illegal, Margaret.
No, it's not illegal if you're just on your own.
Well, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah. No, I just had 2 points to share to it with you. It was just with... different ends of the spectrum of people's life and their attitudes to life. And one today was, I was driving and I was behind a tractor and a trailer along this long windy road, and I decided, a friend was with me, and I thought, we'll pull in here, side the road, and we'll have a coffee and let the tractor go away. We got the flask out and made the coffee, but the tractor driver stopped for the wrong road, came back and shouted at us that we couldn't park there. So I just used some Anglo-Saxon words to describe that we were having coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Says, we won't belong. We were sitting at the side of a field. There was no gate to the field. We weren't blocking the entrance to the field.
Did you say, you for coffee?
Yes. That's exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. After we wanted coffee.
Yeah.
And if we wanted to get into the field, we could have got past us. Now, also, one field was just a quagmire, another field was just stubble. So we couldn't do any damage when we went, because we had the coffee anyway. And 5 minutes later, he had gone away and he'd taken his trailer off his tractor, and he came back with his tractor and he was aiming it at us.
What?
He was driving his tractor at us in the car.
Get off my land.
Well, you see, in Scotland, there's no actual law on trespass as long as you're not causing any malicious damage.
Right.
And we were just at the side of the road. But he started banging on the car and threatening us, so we were just taking time to listen to talk radio, and I was listening to the chap who's on in the afternoon, 3 to 5, and he was talking about thinkers and travelling people.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we're travelling people, and we're not doing any harm, and I'm only having a coffee. So I turned the radio up loud, and Anyway, he finally went away, and I just kind of thought, what a sad life he must have if he had to come along the road. And he was giving us all sorts of abuse, two females in a car out in the middle of nowhere. And if you weren't, didn't have a kind of sense of humour and a broader view on life, you could get quite intimidated. But
of course, you need to carry a taser at all times.
So, well, the other side of that is, and it's a cheerier note, I think it's great, was I met a friend yesterday I hadn't seen for a long time, and I didn't know, I couldn't remember how long ago it was I seen her, but I knew that she was in her 79s, 80s when I used to take her to golf, because her husband couldn't take her.
Yeah.
And I was in the bank, and there she was, as large as life, and absolutely fantastic. So I said, Mabel, how are you? I said, you still swinging that club? And she says, yeah, she says, I had six holes the other day, talking to me too. And I said, how young are you now? She says, guess. And I said, well, you must be nearly 90. I was 91 in April. And she's still walking down the road, still doing a shot and still playing golf.
Oh, blimey, I thought you were going to go somewhere with this, Margaret. It's one of these stories like she's 91, but she's still alive.
Oh, what the point is, euthanasia should be for the other way. I would have thought that she's still got a lot to offer in life and doing things for people.
Euthanasia?
Euthanasia, that young tractor driver, he was only in his 20s and his life is miserable.
I suppose so, but misery has got nothing to do with age. It's like that thing where somebody comes from a village and or somebody's going to a village. Two people cross, one going to a village and one coming back, and one of the guys says, what are the people like in that village? And the guy coming from the village says, well, what are the people like in the village you just come from? He says, oh, they were awful. Well, they'll probably be awful in the village that you just... It's like, whoever you are, Margaret. But you're a wonderful, beautiful person. So I want you to hold that to your... hold that to you. Okay?
Bye-bye. Bye.
What a nice lady. 0500 1050 389. It's a free call. I feel like turning that TV show on, because I'm still stunned that they've had the nerve to put that on television.
Well, go on.
I mean, it's not just that it's on TV, because if ITV put it on, then fair enough, you know... They'll put it on. If it's a success, they'll make money, and if it ain't, then they'll lose. But what the hell is that thing doing on the BBC? Can you ever remember a time when television was this bad? Which is what I was talking about now, just now. All of these shows that people have voted, and 15,000 people is a pretty fair representation of the views of the nation. And virtually nothing at all came from in the last 10 years. The only things I can see off the top here is the sexiest doctor on TV, George Clooney from ER.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston was not, Francesca Annis, whoever that is.
I know the name.
She was shown having an affair with Robson Green in Reckless. Well, I've never heard of it. Perhaps it's new too. Best police drama, Inspector Morse. Incredible. First of all, think of Inspector Morse, the quality of that program. Where would you expect that to be? BBC? It ain't, no. ITV. Unbelievable. All of it. It's all old. Anciently old. Nothing from recently at all.
Is it all British stuff, then?
George Clooney's American.
Oh, of course.
Almost everything else is British, yeah. But, it just amazes me every day. I cannot, apart from Commonwealth Games, which doesn't count, I cannot think of anything that I have seen on BBC One. It could be a year. Oh, does The X-Files get shown on BBC One?
Yeah,
I think it does now. Also doesn't count. They had nothing to do with it. They just happened to have bought it before Channel 4 did.
And after Sky did.
Exactly. So that don't count. It's got nothing to do with them. Can you think of anything that the BBC have actually made themselves that you've seen on BBC One lately? We've got four people covering a large age range. We've got class differences between us. So we've got A, B, C1s. We haven't actually got any A's, have we? We've got B, C1, C2, more or less. Well, I'm 30... How old am I?
38.
Yeah. And you guys are all in your 20s. Sick boy. Ever name me one thing you watch on BBC One that has something to do with the BBC.
I think I said this before when we were talking about it. Later with Jules Holland, so I was like...
BBC One. That's BBC Two.
BBC Two, isn't it?
Every now and again, BBC Two does come up with something. Absolutely, of course. But no, not that often. I say Channel 4 is a more interesting... Arts Channel, which I thought, well, the BBC was supposed to be about. Here's BBC Two. Not only have you got 2 hours of the conference on BBC One, but you've got 4 hours of the damn thing on BBC Two today. It's 4 or 6 hours in all. I mean, that's about as much as they had of the Commonwealth Games. Who the hell's interested in that? Nobody. Not one single person is interested in that damn thing. Really. I mean, not even if you were in the party. Probably the people who are sitting in the conference can't wait to get out.
But did you watch the Commonwealth Games? Because that was on BBC One.
Yeah, like I said, doesn't count. Had nothing to do with the BBC other than they trundled their cameras there.
Okay, right, we'll give you that.
They didn't make the programme, did they? They didn't put it on.
Okay, all right.
But every now and again, the BBC Two does come up with something. Not today, unfortunately. The Antiques Show. What's that? The Silver at 10 Downing Street. That was like the Antiques Roadshow in one place. It's an idea from something that works before. And the Antiques Roadshow is actually quite... it's a silly program, and it's been on forever. But it's a game show. And it's quite a vicious, nasty, kind of exciting little game show, because you get these old dears who've had something on their wardrobe forever, and they bring it down, and it's this porcelain little thing with the widget missing. And the bloke will be going, oh, well, if only it had the widget, it would have been worth much more. And you can virtually see them trembling. You know, you need to put a bucket under them, they're sweating so much. And he'll drag it out, because all you want to know is how much the damn thing is, right? I can't think of a game show name. It's not Family Fortunes. It's like, you know, something like that. Who wins is basically it. Who wins? Is it worth nothing? And you're made to look an idiot on television for having brought it down? Is it £1,000? And then they go, oh, really? And in their brain, they're going, damn it! £1,000. They were hoping for £10,000. You know, I think it's quite an excellent idea in its own quiet British little way. So that's a great idea for them to have come up with, and hugely successful.
But of course, it did come up with that idea years ago. Because
yeah, it's ancient.
It's been running
yeah,
for
it is an antique itself.
Also, Nick, I read somewhere that apparently it's the most watched programme in the prison community.
That's so that they know what to get when they come out. Yes. The prison community, especially the community that has to be put in maximum security, should be watching that Ainsley Harriet show so they know who to get when they come out.
Or, optionally, they should leave him alone and return to civilization, reformed characters,
yes.
And not do anyone any harm or steal nothing.
Correct. I couldn't agree more.
Good. Take a break now, please.
Because when they're down, people who have committed wrong and they're in prison, they need to be picked up.
Once my love was good enough for happiness we knew, then fame and fortune came your way and made a change in me. You find your letters of recess is not on solid ground. When you start to tumble, pick me up on your way down.
Now. Bow down Ula Rock.
Al Hibbler, Fergus Crump,
Steinar Basterson,
but mostly
Alastair Wanklin.
where's he from?
Alastair Wanklin, Moscow.
I thought so. Alastair Wanklin in Moscow, but particularly
Makesh Alak Makarakesh.
So here's one in Exeter. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Nick.
How are you going?
Very well. Yourself?
Yeah, good.
As regards to spiders, my grandmother, she had a saying which my mother was always quoting. If you want to live and thrive, then let a spider run alive. And to this day, I still don't kill spiders. And I catch them and release them.
If you want to live and thrive, let a spider run alive.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just sprung to mind when a couple of the previous callers were talking about spiders.
Okay, well slurred there, Steve. 0500 1050 389. It looks like Professor Popcorn to me.
Hello, Nick. Howdy, hi.
Professor.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right.
How can I help you?
I phoned up to say how happy you've been for the past 2 days, and then you began to talk about EastEnders.
Yeah.
And you went right down when you talked about EastEnders and Ainsley, and you've really depressed me now. Because I've been a bit sad lately.
Oh, really?
I'm a sad old clown.
You are a sad man.
My daughter's gone to uni, and I'm missing her.
Oh.
So I've been a bit sad, and I listened to you to cheer me up, and you started banging on about EastEnders and Ainsley.
Uh-huh.
And I could sort of, I think you went low. You felt really low, and then you played a few effects, and you pick up again.
Hooray! No, I wasn't low. I didn't mean to sound depressed.
Well, you did a bit.
No, I wasn't depressed. I was stunned more than anything.
Well, it is a bit stunning, yeah. Isn't it? The lineup tonight.
I mean, I looked at the TV lineups, and I thought,
what?
Are you insane?
It is insane, isn't it? It's just I had a look while you were talking at the lineup. And it is terrible.
It is shocking. I mean, if we can't do... I mean, I know that this time slot is the worst in all of radio to get an audience because this is prime time television.
Mm.
But if we can't do well opposite this tribe, then there's no hope for us.
I'm sure you are doing well.
Well, I can't wait to get the results.
I'm sure you can't. You asked about the old piano music up to the news.
Yeah.
I preferred the old one. I don't like the new one at all.
You don't like the new one?
No, not
I don't really give a crap.
Well, you did ask.
Oh, I suppose I did, yeah.
Anyway, Nick, I'll let you get on to another caller now, as Elizabeth says.
Have you got any dates coming up, Professor Popcorn, children's entertainer?
Oh, I've got loads, Nick.
You do?
Yeah, thanks to you, mainly.
It's really?
Yeah, people hear me on here, and they ring up and say, I heard you on Nick Abbott, and you sound quite good.
You sound...
He's wacko, man. He's worse than crazy. He's evil.
That should be your calling card.
Should
Professor
it?
Popcorn, he's wacko, man. He's worse than crazy. He's evil.
Can I just say one thing? I'm at a supermarket next week in the foyer, and they've put a poster up, and they put... Oh, blimey, it's Professor Popcorn.
That's typical.
I seem to remember you used to say that when you introduced me, and they must have heard you, and they've stolen it.
Oh, blimey, it's Professor Popcorn.
Yeah.
Really?
Sounds quite good. Can I use it as a catchphrase?
Of course you can.
Can I?
Yeah.
Will I have to pay you?
No, I don't think you do.
That's very kind of you, Nick.
I've got far too much money coming in at the moment as it is.
What a nice man you are.
You can give me some cash, though, Professor.
Can I?
Yeah.
How much?
Oh, I don't know. $5,000?
Check's in the post.
Cool.
Check's in the post.
Of course, that's gone out on air now, so you have to abide by it. Yeah. Otherwise,
can you dump it?
You.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Can you dump it before it goes
out,
please?
Your mission is to send him £5,000.
You understand, Captain, that this mission does not exist. Nor will it ever exist.
Here's one in Upton-on-the-Wirral.
Hello, Rick.
What a comedy name for a place that is, Greg.
Well, what do you mean, comedy? Great place. Ever
been there? Upton-on-the-Wirral, never heard of it.
Oh, well, you'll find out. It's good stuff. Listen, about Kilroy this morning.
Yeah.
He was on karaoke.
I was trying to remember what the topic was this morning, and that was it. It was, I'm hooked on karaoke.
Yeah.
That was the topic on Kilroy this morning. I am hooked on karaoke.
Maybe what? Joining in with Faith Brown.
Oh, that's all we need. I thought she died.
Well, I know.
She probably died on that show.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. I walked in and said to the wife, do you want a cup of tea? And I seen it, and I was just magnetized.
I would rather have my teeth drilled than watch an episode of that Kilroy program.
Oh, don't believe it.
See you in the morning. I'm with A.A. Gill on this one. I think he described him as a self... I can't remember exactly what he said because it went to about 10 words. But A.A. Gill's TV column in the Sunday Times, hilarious. I think he's one of the best writers we've got. And he said something like he's a copper-bottomed, self-winding buffoon, which I think sums it up. There was about 8 other words in there, but I can't remember what they were.
Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Cheers.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. And can you believe that Kilroy and Vanessa's Fat are going to be on the same damn channel? I mean, it just gets worse. This is not the... We haven't seen the extent of the horror that is coming out on BBC One yet. Vanessa's Fat hasn't started yet. And what's she going to be doing? Another what you're buying in the shops show.
No.
Of course.
Well, you know, at least she doesn't go around to other people's houses like Ainsley does. But, of course, instead of making the food, she'll go around and eat all her cakes or something, I should imagine. Or, optionally, she won't.
Yeah.
And she'll present a very
have to butter
program.
Her lightly on the sides in order to propel her through the door.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a very good show, and I'm sure she's a very nice person, he says, having met her.
Have you?
Yeah, she used to work here.
Did she?
Yeah, back in the very early days, she used to do a Sunday morning program.
Oh, really? Why did she leave?
She felt it was time to move on.
Did she?
Yeah.
Right.
To pursue other projects.
Of course. Pull yourself together, man.
I'm sorry.
So what's she like as a person?
I met her once.
Yeah.
She seemed sort of, as you would expect.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was the wrong one. Pressed that by accident.
What did you mean to press? Oh, I see. Okay. Right. Can you take a break, please?
No, I don't think we've got to the bottom of this whole Vanessa Felt. We have, can I rephrase that?
Well, the only thing I remember is she was very orange.
Orange?
Orange. Very orange colour.
Really?
Yeah. Very orangey.
It wasn't Agent Orange, was it?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
No.
Was she fragrant?
You smell that?
Oh, yeah.
I think she was wearing that that new cologne from Chanel. I think they're calling it...
Smells like... Victory.
Victory. Calvin Klein's Victory. I think that's what she's wearing.
Hmm.
It's quite nice.
It's Tube City.
She's married to a guy called... I think the guy's called Charlie. Doesn't like the sea.
Charlie, don't surf!
Oh, dear. What else could you work
on? Whenever he goes on the water, he never likes to get out of the vessel.
Never get out of the boat. Absolutely goddamn right.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, aren't we?
You don't know how happy this makes me, sir.
0500-1053-89. It's a free call. We're going to have to take a break because Kev's insisting upon it.
He's really specializing in busting my balls.
Just checking the quality.
Oh, yeah. Here's one in London. Hello, Darren.
Evening, Nick. How are you, mate?
All right.
Yes. Isn't it time the BBC, therefore, went commercial and stopped wasting other people's money?
No, it isn't time the BBC went commercial. They should go back to doing what they're supposed to do. And I believe that they got another David Attenborough thing. One of those extravaganzas, the nature thing, is going to do birds, which is exactly what they should be doing. They should be doing more documentaries about art and architecture and all of that good stuff. It's supposed to be an education, not stupid tripe that was so bad even ITV would reject it.
But we have to get rid of Ainsley Harriott. He's got to go. The guy's got to go. He's been removed off the comedy circuit because he's a failed stand-up comedian. Why
Ainsley Harriott was a comedian?
Yes, he was.
You're joking.
He used to do the clubs. He used to do the comedy clubs.
He did?
He had a partner and he used to dress up in like a hat and a Caribbean shirt.
What?
Hawaiian shirt and skirt. And he used to play on a set of bongos and do this mad routine. And
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
It's absolutely true. And that's why he's now making food on TV, because he's a failed stand-up.
Well, either way, it's just incredible. And that really does speak volumes about the lack of presenting talent on television. First of all, that people like him and Jill Blando and all that lot get paid, you know, millions of pounds just to stand there and read somebody else's script. And it's the same people over and over again. There's just nobody out there.
Exactly.
At all. I mean, the amount of great television talent that you could name on the fingers of one hand. There's Bruce, Chris, and then you start to run out.
Bob?
Not to everybody's taste, but you've got to respect the man, of course. Yep.
And the thing about EastEnders that you're talking about, how depressing it all is, I think the main point behind the soaps these days is basically to make people think that their lives are worth living, because, oh, thank God my life isn't like that.
You mean it's a government conspiracy?
Yes.
Oh, no!
It's basically an idea to sort of make people look at their own lives and go, oh, well, hang on a minute, things aren't that bad for me, give them a bit of a boost.
Okay, well, thanks for the bad news there, Darren. 0500-1053-89. Better start speeding through these because we've got no time at all. And loads of... Oops, sorry, wrong one. Here's one in Shoreham. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Jane.
Kilroy.
Yes.
How can you slag him off? He's lovely.
Oh.
I mean,
I used to watch him every day, but I've started working in an estate agent's insurance, so I can't now. Mm-hmm. So I tape him and I watch him in my lunch hour.
What? Are you insane?
I mean, if you compare him with Vanessa or Trisha, I mean, that Trisha, that's really bad.
Yeah, but you're comparing him with other... No, but other I used tripe.
To, when I was at home with the children, I used to watch Vanessa, Richard and Judy, yeah. Esther, Ricky.
Oh, blimey, and I'm spending the last valuable seconds of this show talking to you? I mean, no offence, dear, but get a life. How many of those confessional chat shows did she watch? There was a list of about six of them there. That was an entire day. Good, I'm calling social services. Get those children away. So, coming up next, man, he is elegant. Talk about swelligant.
Oh, yeah.
He is looking fabulous.
And he smells great, too.
Doesn't he just? Mm. It's that great smell of victory.
I love the smell of...
Victor of James Whale in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does he smell like in the morning?
Victory.
Yeah? It smells like victory in the morning. Really? So, it's James Whale next. I'm Nick Abbott, back here tomorrow at 7ers.